let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's a vibrant portrait of America today. No passport required. PBS's hit series returning for season two, Mondays night, Eastern Pacific, celebrating the wide-ranging diversity of immigrant traditions and cuisines woven into American food and culture. Each week, chef and host Marcus Samuelson visits a different American city to learn more about how a particular immigrant community has influenced the area it now calls home. Marcus, an immigrant himself, was born in Ethiopia, raised in Sweden, now a celebrated chef, restaurant owner, philanthropist, best-selling author, and resident of Harlem, the youngest chef to receive a three-star review from the New York Times, named Best Chef New York City by the James Beard Foundation, regular guest on many TV shows, The Today Show, Top Chef, Iron Chef America, Chopped, and others, and in 2010, defeated 21 world-renowned chefs to win Bravo's Top Chef Masters show, numerous bestsellers, host and executive producer of No Passport Required, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific on PBS, Marcus Samuelson back with us on This Week in America. Marcus, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Exciting to be on, yeah.
Well, really looking forward to season two. And this is so much more than about food and chefs, isn't it? It really is a rare look into numerous immigrant communities here in the country.
Yeah, I mean, being an immigrant myself, and I really feel fortunate to be able to share and share the stories of immigrants. You know, it's not a monolithic tale. We're a nation of immigrants, and food is such a great way of discover or rediscover each other's food. And, you know, at No Passport Required, we go to six magical cities and look at six different immigrant communities, you know, from Vegas, Las Vegas, to the Chinese American community, to Seattle and Filipino culture, and Los Angeles. Tonight, we're going to Los Angeles and looking at take a deep look at the Armenian community, for example, just to mention some. And it is delicious and it's amazing. And you know, I think that through food, it's one of the best way of learning about another's culture.
You know, it really is. And let's talk about this passion you have. As I say, it's not just a food show. You get to share this this passion you have celebrating the food of America's vibrant communities, six new ones this season. Talk about how important this is for you to be able to do this and put the spotlight on the immigrant communities and what they're doing and how proud they are to be in these communities.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not you can't look at just the food. Like there's a journey on why did somebody leave everything behind and come to this country? And what are the things when you leave somewhere, what are the things that you hold on to? What are the things that you're willing to compromise on? And food is one of these things that very often the rituals, the recipes are, you know, most of the time older than America. And Armenian community is an example of that. This is being Armenian, Armenia as a country is not that big, but as a culture is extremely rich and big. You know, it could be Persian Armenian, Turkish Armenian, Lebanese, or Soviet Armenian. And yet, you set up shop in Glendale or in East Hollywood and holding on to a tradition. And so many immigrants can really relate to that. Or Italian American in Philadelphia, you know. You don't think about it today, but most of the time if you came, we were really, really poor. And how are they kept on and hold on to their tradition? They get a chance to sit down with Ralph's restaurant that's been open for 120 years to meeting a younger businesses. But it's really about doing this, opening an eye for the viewer about how many cultures can be in a city. What is a surprise element? And next time you go to one of these cities, you know, hopefully you stop by and eat in one of these places because they're very special and they're amazing people behind them.
We said something that's very interesting, and you've talked about this. Borders can change, but rituals don't. And this really has helped. I know in Los Angeles, when you're talking about the Armenian community, food really helped these people survive there, didn't it?
Food is very often the first job or the first industry that opens up the door, right? And but also what it does is also explain, it creates a bridge for that customer that may not come from this culture, or it creates a sense of comfort for the person that has left and doesn't have access to that food, or a bridge for third or fourth generation that maybe don't know how to do this anymore. Do you know what I mean? So,
yes.
So it's really such a strong bridge builder, important part of holding on to tradition. In all the episode, we see how the older generation and the younger generation actually working together, whether the kids are on Instagram and open a secret restaurant in the parents' backyard, like you would watch here in the Armenian community, or it's holding on to a tradition like a kebab and families working together, for example. In Houston, there's also so many surprises. In Houston, we take a look at the West African community, and a lot of people didn't know that Houston is one of the most diverse cities in America. Might not be the first thing you think about when you think about Texas. But how have the Nigerians kept on to their traditions and their food in Houston? In Las Vegas, of course, everyone knows about Las Vegas, but it's really learning it through the Chinese-American experience is very different. It's not on the Strip. It's about 10 minutes away from the Strip. There's a booming Chinatown. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about Chinese diverse American community, right? And the food takes a different path, and it's very, very interesting.
With us on This Week in America, world-renowned celebrity chef and best-selling author Marcus Samuelson. He hosts, executive produced, No Passport Required. Back on PBS for a second season, Mondays 9 Eastern and Pacific. It's interesting, the program has been described as you actually explain and explore. And I want to talk about that because you do an explanation. This is the largest in L.A., Armenian community outside of their homeland. They went through a lot, and you give us a history. We will never look at these cities and these communities the same way again after watching No Passport Required. Talk about the importance of not just talking about what food they like and share, but who these people are.
Yeah, I mean, a big city like Los Angeles can be intimidating. Where should I go? And
yes.
And without having some guidance, you know, and in Los Angeles and L.A. Times, you know, have this amazing writer, Jonathan Gold, right, rest in peace, that really opened the door up for the rest of Los Angeles on where to go, and very often in different communities. And so I'm a huge Jonathan Gold fan, and so to be able to just tell stories and invite people in to not just what it says on the storefront, but what is the traditions and how did they get here and what did they keep on, and was it difficult in the beginning not getting the same ingredients, and what are the compromises they did, and who did they share this with? Other immigrant communities very often, right? So it's really a story about identity, culture, and lots of great eating, and that's really what I want to come across. And I think PBS and Vox did such a good job of sharing that and be committed to tell a deeper story, because it is something that we, especially in this day and age when we're so divided, diversity is actually something we should hold on to. It's actually what makes our country so different and so special.
Well, you have a way of humanizing the conversation. These are not just numbers we're talking about. These are people.
No,
you were one of these people that came here as well. That has to, for you, be very rewarding that you can put a name and a face to these people and maybe lessen the rhetoric a little bit, the hostility in the country sometimes.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, definitely when you are an immigrant like myself, and I can really relate to that experience of saying, hey, let me try this out in America instead. And sometimes the why, you don't even know what you're getting into, but you're willing to sacrifice and work hard. And then when you come in, you realize you share that with so many other. But it is a story of humans. It's a story of people working together. It's a story of celebrating work ethic and love for this country. And very often, food, music, art are some of the best ways to share an experience and create memories and soften the differences that they very often have. And we realize we're just humans after all.
Well, talk about the power of breaking bread. So often on the news, we'll see somebody talking to an immigrant in a particular community. It's maybe 90 seconds. They're in a crowd, and you really don't get a chance to know them. You're sitting there. You're not only in the local restaurants, markets. You're in the family homes, and you're sitting there with in often multi-generational homes, sitting there at the table sharing food. That gives you a real insight into the person you're there with, doesn't it?
It does, and it reminds me how I grew up. You know, my grandmother was the cook in the family, and we sat with my cousins and with my aunties, and we ate together, and we discussed how she was making meatballs that were different than how maybe my mom was making them. And same thing in Ethiopia, where my birth country, you eat collectively as a family, and it's a big family, and you share stories. And you know, many things have changed in the world, but that idea about identity, who we are, how do we eat, how do we cook, hasn't changed that much. And it's important to hold on to because it makes us unique. It makes us find our differences, but also makes us find our similarities. And to evoke that and have people today, anything we can do today to bridge the gap in terms of differences with people, but also saying it's okay to do something different, right?
Yes.
Our food smells this way and yours smells that way, and that's okay. We're one country, but we have different ways to go about our traditions.
What has this done for you? From a chef standpoint, you're often in the kitchen, maybe with the mother, maybe a grandmother, and they probably go, okay, this hotshot chef is coming in. I'm going to tell him how to make this dish my way. From a chef standpoint, do you learn something when you're in the kitchens with them?
I learned so much because this is not food that very often that I grew up with. It is also not food that's taught in cooking schools or very often doesn't exist in restaurants. So to be able to cook real home cooking, or even ways to eat. Like when I'm in Houston, I'm learning how to eat with my bare hands and with fufu and a fish stew, and that's also extremely rewarding to me too. It's not just a cooking way sometimes, it's very often how does one eat this, and that's what makes it unique. And it's a lot of humility, you know. I'm a fan of all kinds of food, and I'm curious. My curiosity is what got me to this country. It got me, you know, to learn about other cultures. So when you feed your own curiosity and hopefully share that with others, you know you're onto something good.
A minute or so left in the program. You mentioned Las Vegas a couple of times with the Chinese food there. Other traditions you get into, what the herbal medicine and the tea. So we really get a broad perspective of what we can find in these diverse communities.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese culture is so, I mean, it's such a rich culture and beautiful. And but, you know, there's also a level of surprise. For example, when we go to Boston, we look at Portuguese, Brazilian, and Cape Verdean. What is the overlap? What do these three communities have together? And what makes them stand apart, you know? And I had one of my favorite meals with a Portuguese the fishing crew on the boat. You know, it was freezing, but it was really good. This beautiful Portuguese stew, fish stew. You know, and it's something that in every city there's been so many surprises, but also so many shared stories. And I found myself really lucky to be able to be part of a show like this because it's so much who I am. And I hope that the viewer will enjoy it. And also when they come to these cities, visit these places and tell them that you saw it on those passport because they were really. They want to hear from you. They want to see you in their restaurant.
I'm going to take 30 seconds here because something that struck out as I'm watching season one is the immigrant communities you talk to are really patriotic. They want to work hard. They want to give something back to the communities and this country that gave them these opportunities. That really comes across in the programs, and that's obviously so true with the communities that you visit.
Oh, no, absolutely. The work ethic, the love for the family, love for country comes through. It will be a different accent. It will be a very personal take on it.
Yes.
But America is this big beacon of hope for people around the world, and that's why people leave everything behind to come here and to add value, and they're super patriotic. And, you know, I feel very positive when after I've done the season, because it really gets me out in the country and see a new perspective, and I'm really grateful for that. And we, yes, there's a lot of issues, but you know what? We also pretty special, and a show like this hopefully can bring us together over dinner, over some great food, and I hope you get a chance to check out No Passport Required, 9 o'clock today on PBS.
Yep, back season two every Monday, 9 Eastern Pacific. Marcus Samuelson does an excellent job as host, executive producer in presenting this. The program, once again, is No Passport Required. Marcus, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.